Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast.
This morning, I told Brother Eddie, he asked me, he said, are you nervous about Sunday at all? And I have a pastor friend of mine, his name is Mark Ayers. You'll hear me reference him often because he gives those little spiels and one-liners that can't be beaten. He told me one time, I told him, I was like, man, I'm nervous to preach. And he said, you know, he said, I have a word of encouragement for you. So I was expecting something, you know, just really great and profound. And he told me, he said, as long as at the end of your sermon, the church is not dragging you out on the front steps and stoning you, you're fine. He said, it can't get any worse than that. And I said, you know, I guess you're right. But this morning, I want to talk to you guys about taking the plunge. We kind of read just a little bit ago about this passage of incredible faith, and we're going to get into that a little bit more. This morning, I'm just going to be really real and open with you all. That's what I promise to always be with you all here at Panther Creek. So, again, it's been a great first few weeks here, and it's been a blessing to serve alongside you all and getting to know some of you and hoping to get to know even more of you the best that I can. And serving here with you guys. But this morning we're going to be talking about taking the plunge. And when I talk about taking the plunge, one of the very first things that I think of is when I was a little boy, we would go to Rough River all the time. And the one thing that I always wanted to do, I always saw the college kids, at least in my mind they were college kids jumping off the rocks into the water. And I would always ask my mom, Mom, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. No, you're not ready for that. And I remember this because this is something that I wanted more than anything was to jump off these rocks. Well, like I said, we've been out there for years, and I finally had gotten old enough to jump off the rocks. We saw some rocks one day that looked pretty decent to jump off of, and my mom, it was one of those days, I think, that she just kind of threw her hands in the air. She was tired of hearing me complain about not getting to jump off the rocks. So we go, and my dad, he's going with me, and he's helping. And it's kind of a narrow pathway going up, and it's kind of wet. There's some moss and stuff that just caused it to kind of be slick. So we're actually kind of having to be careful at this point. But my dad, he goes, and we get to the top, and he goes, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? And me, I was like, you can go first. You know, you go ahead. And he jumps, worst decision of my life. So I stood up there and I was like, you know, I don't think I'm ready yet. Mom, I didn't tell her that she was right, but in my mind, moms actually know what they're talking about from time to time. So I think to myself, okay, I'm going to go back down. And I start to kind of step back down. Well, it's too slick, at least in my mind. I was afraid I was going to slip and fall because a lot of times it's easier getting up somewhere than it is coming down, or at least in your mind you feel like it is. So at that moment, I was freaked out. I was like, Dad, can you come up here? And Dad's like, no, you're up there. You got to jump. He said, this is it. This is your moment. You've been asking for a long time to jump off these rocks. You got to go. So I'm standing up there, and I'm convinced at this point, I'm not jumping. Now, when I said I was going to be real with you all, this is embarrassing to me, but it's true. Brother Eddie last week, I believe it was last week, was sharing about the different phobias people have. And I don't know what it is, but my whole life I have been terrorized by bees and wasps and horseflies or anything like that. So that day a bee landed right on my life jacket. I had a life jacket, and I'm standing up there by myself, and a bee lands on my life jacket. And I sit there, and it was like one of those like blink of an eye moments that you don't realize what you're doing until after you're doing it. But in that moment, I stood there, and I thought, okay, it's now or never because this bee is on me or it's going to sting me. I'm scared of bees. Forgive me. But I jump in that moment. And like I said, I didn't realize what I was doing until I was midway in the air. But that was my plunge moment. I didn't have anyone there to hold my hand. I didn't have anyone there to... in that moment, I was free falling. I was king of the world at that point. And after I ended up falling into the water and I came out, I didn't want to do it again. But I convinced everyone that I knew what I was doing and I was a professional rock jumper at that point. But this morning, I'm going to talk to you about taking a little bit of a deeper plunge, kind of jumping into the deep end, into an area of faith where maybe we as a church, we as individuals haven't journeyed before. And what I'm about to read is this passage, and I've read it already, but I'm going to just read it one more time. And it is one of the most, in my opinion, incredible stories of faith that we see all throughout Scripture. Because we see a woman that is just absolutely broken in this passage. And I'll give you a little bit more background behind that. But she's broken, and she is desperate to be healed because she's unclean. She spent many, many years suffering. So let me read this passage to you guys again. Mark chapter 5, verse 24, starting in verse 24, all the way through verse 29. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So this is Jesus coming through, all right? And there's a large crowd surrounding him. It had just come across the sea, all right? So she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. She had spent all she had, okay? So she had put a lot of faith into these doctors, gone under many doctors, spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. What was the problem with this woman? Okay? She had continuing problems. Okay? And again, if you want to read a little bit more about this in detail, go to Leviticus chapter 15 in your own personal study time. But she had had this problem for 12 years. She had not been ceremonially cleaned for 12 years. She was financially drained. As the passage talked about, she spent all she had in order to try to be healed and to try to be clean. She was in pain because she didn't grow better. She grew worse during this time. She grew worse. She didn't even get better. And she had spent all she had to try to get better, but it just kept getting worse and worse. She was a social outcast. I think that is something that probably was more straining on her than anything. And we see that again in Leviticus chapter 15, just exactly why they're a social outcast during this time. Because if you're considered unclean, you can't touch. You can't touch someone. You can't be around someone. Socially, you're embarrassed. You hang your head. You put a cap over your head, whatever, in order to avoid public eye. So we already are seeing the incredible faith of this woman where she's standing here and saying, okay, she heard about this man named Jesus. She's heard about what he's done. So if I can just go and touch his clothes, maybe I can be healed too. All right? But imagine having this issue for as long as she's had, for 12 years. That is 4,383 days, 144 months, 624 weeks, 105,192 hours. For 12 years, she bore the emotional, psychological baggage of being unclean and untouchable. So just to kind of break this down a little bit more, that means no kind of intimacy, hugs, kisses, or anything from her husband if she had one. All right? She could not prepare for her family meal, again, if she had one. She couldn't cook for her family because she was unclean. She could not do housework. She couldn't be a wife. She couldn't be a mom. She had to basically sit isolated in a house for 12 years staring at the walls. For all intents and purposes, she was basically as good as dead in that time because she could do nothing. She was at a stale point in her life, again, where she had spent all the money she had. She had gone to many doctors. She'd done all that she knew she could do. But the cool thing was she heard about Jesus during all of this. And she just thought, when she heard of the miracles he'd already performed, when she heard about who he was, that he was the Son of God, this light, this glimmer of hope struck inside of her, and she thought, you know, I'm going for it. What do I have to lose? At this point, I spent all the money I had. I've gone and seen all the doctors that I could. At this point, what else do I have to lose? So she's coming up, and at this point, you have to imagine she's pretty nervous. Again, because she's a social outcast at this point. The town wants nothing to do with her. So you can imagine one of two things. Either one, she's hidden in this moment, okay? One, she's hidden in this moment because she has some kind of drape over her head, something where the town doesn't recognize her. Or two, the crowd is so large and there's so much commotion going on with Jesus being there, that people aren't taking the time to even really notice her. Okay, so what she's doing is that she's coming and she's fighting through this crowd and she's thinking to herself, I have been going through this for years. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I have hit my rock bottom. Jesus, you are the answer in this moment. I have faith that if I can just simply touch your clothes, I don't want you to touch me, because she was scared. She was scared that if Jesus had touched her, that he might become unclean. Because Leviticus 15:19 says, whoever touches her shall be unclean. So she didn't want to put that on Jesus. But she didn't worry about that in that moment. Because what she thought was, you know, I don't even have to worry about that. Because if this man is who he says he is, I'm going to touch his clothes and, buddy, I'm home free. I'm clean. I'm tired of the suffering. I don't have to deal with it anymore. If I can just touch his clothes, I can do this. She had incredible faith, an incredible amount of faith in this moment. And here's the cool thing, all right? And we see it in verse 29 and 28, because she thought, if I could just touch his cloak, and it goes on to talk about that she just touched it, just the bottom of his garments. In 29, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt that in her body that she was freed from her suffering. In that moment, Jesus felt the power expel from him. He felt this moment. And later on in the passage, he calls her forward. And, you know, he could have done anything in that moment. You know, he could have just kept going. He could have said, okay, someone was healed. Someone was clean. All right? Something just happened. He didn't do that. And the commotion of this entire crowd, he stopped. And he said, who touched my robe? Who touched it? Now, we have to know, Jesus, the God-man, all right, he's all-knowing. Okay, so here's the cool thing. He knows what's going on right now. We have to know that. He knows what's going on. This is Jesus we're talking about. So what he did was, is he wanted this woman to come forward and to testify. Because what she showed was, she showed an immense, incredible amount of faith. And he wanted her story to be shared and to be known amongst the large crowd that was there. Because this is the cool thing. You know, it wasn't that nobody was around to see this moment. He wanted her to come forward and say, hey, you got a crowd here. Tell about your story. Tell what I've done for you just now. And exactly why? Because you had faith in me. That's the cool thing. And that is awesome. And that is something that we see here. But what I want to ask you all today is what I want to get at. Okay, is what could happen if we, the church, had this kind of faith? What could happen if we as individuals had this kind of faith? What could happen? I mean, really, what could happen in our lives that if we have this kind of faith, that we can move mountains? We have to realize something here, all right? The Holy Spirit, all right? Jesus, His Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that conquered death, all right, the grave couldn't hold him. His Holy Spirit lives inside each and every single one of us here that are believers today. And that's the cool thing about it. And if this woman just had just this little bit of faith, talking about how, if I can just touch his clothes, you know, I don't need some drastic, you know, I don't need him to lay his hands on me. I don't need him to pray over me. I don't need him to do this or that. I just need to touch his clothes. This morning, if you and I had that kind of faith, what would happen in our own lives? What would happen in our church? What would happen in our own lives if we, in our marriage, if we just put a little bit of our faith in Jesus and our struggling marriages that we feel are broken and falling apart? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I come from that background. My parents went through a very, very hard time, and it's not something that I share to put anyone down, but my parents were separated for 2 years, and it was an extremely hard time for our family. But my mom, in that moment, and I will always look up to her, and my dad would say the same thing. I love my dad with all my heart. I love my mom with all my heart. Those were some of the darkest times of my life that I can remember. But what I had to realize was, in that moment, is that Jacob could not fix it. Misty, my mom, could not fix it on her own. Jeff, my dad, could not fix it on his own. Jesus is the one that fixed it. Jesus is the one that brought the healing. Jesus is the one that brought the change. Jesus is the glue that held their marriage together and that held our family together. You know, a lot of times if we just simply get out of the way and let Jesus take control, Maybe it's in your job. Maybe you're somewhere where you feel you are not serving the Lord to your full potential. Maybe it's in your degree, you're going to school, you're not serving Jesus to your full potential. This isn't what God has called you to do. Maybe it's in this church. Maybe you're not serving the way the Lord is calling you to serve. Maybe you've sat there forever and you've said, you know, well, they've got this. They've done it for years. I'll just sit here and I'll just do my own thing. You know, I'll smile. Church needs happy people. And they're right, they do. But we're a body of believers. We're the body of Christ. We're the arms, legs, hands, feet. And we got to get moving. Maybe if you just had a little bit of faith and say, you know, God, you know, I'm not equipped for this, but I believe that you can equip me because you're calling me. You equip the call, Lord. Maybe it's in our giving. Maybe we don't put a full trust. And you know, Lord, I know you tell me to give 10%. I know you tell me to tithe, but I don't really agree with the direction that they're going right now. I don't really like this, or I don't really like that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what tithing is about. It's not our money to begin with. It's His. And we have to be able to give in faith and belief. God, you can change this. This is your house. This is your church. You do as you see, please. You do as you want. You know, with this life center that's just built over here, I told Brother Eddie and the personnel team coming in, there's going to be things that we do that might not work out well over there. And there's going to be things that we do that are going to far surpass what we can even imagine over there. But in all that, I never wanted us to lose faith. Faith that God is going to change hearts and to change lives. And not just because it's a building, but that we're following Him in faith. That's, you know, a building is great. These four walls that are in the sanctuary now, they're great. All right, but we're the church, the body of believers, a body of believers coming together in faith to make a change, to make a difference through Jesus. You know, there's many points in our lives where we question and we say, you know, what's next? You know, if you're telling me to have all of this faith, that's great. And you're telling me to take the plunge, to step out into the deep end. But how do I know? How do I know that God is going to hold me together through it? How do I know if I take this plunge, this leap of faith, how do I know I can hold it all together? How do I know? Because Jacob, there are some times where I just feel like I'm completely lost and broken. And when you're telling me to jump out on faith, when I feel like there is none to be had in the first place, that's a big ask. And you're right, it is. It's a really big ask. But we're called to do it. But how do you know? I was sitting in youth group one time, and I heard this story. I didn't discover this, but it's extremely cool. Because it just shows us how we can have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because He's so meticulous. He's so detailed. He knows what He's doing. And I'll tell you how you can know. And it's inside each and every single one of you and me right now. It's a little cell adhesion molecule called laminin. And we ask ourselves at times, again, how do we do this? How do we know that we can jump into the deep end? Again, it's a little cell adhesion molecule called laminin. And now there's many other ways through Scripture, but this is just something really cool that I feel like is kind of the icing on the cake. Laminin, you may ask, what's a cell adhesion? Well, I'll break it down because, trust me, science was not my strongest subject in school. Adhesion, glue, okay? It's the glue that holds you and that holds me together. We were sitting in youth, and I was always that inquisitive youth. How? Or how about this? Or how about that? Or what if? Or what if that? That was me growing up. I'm sure I drove my youth director crazy because, you know, a 30-minute lesson ended up never being a 30-minute lesson. It ended up being, you know, an hour, and we'd get out 15, 20 minutes late. But I always wanted to know. I always wanted to dig deeper. I always wanted to know more. You know, and I'll be honest. And I'm sure there's a lot of us in this room this morning that are the exact same way. I struggled with faith a lot. Because if I couldn't see it, if I couldn't feel it, if it wasn't in black and white and I didn't know what direction we were going, buddy, I didn't want anything to do with it. But this cell adhesion molecule called lamnin just kind of changed my perspective just a little bit more on who God is. Again, because He's so meticulous, He's so detailed, and it just shows that He loves you and me so much. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to show you a picture of what lamnin is, but just to explain it a little bit further, if not for lamnin, you and I couldn't be here this morning. Lamnin is what holds you and I together. It's holding our membranes together. It's holding all that good stuff. I don't know. I don't understand it all. I just know that that's what it does. And when I saw this for the first time, I became broken. Because I think just about how much of a slap in the face it is to God every single time that I question Him. And I don't believe in Him with all of my heart. You know, we have a God that sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us. Gave His life. And yet I think that I'm worthy enough, or I think I'm big enough, or all-knowing enough to say, faith, what do you mean take the plunge? What do you mean step out in the deep end? What do you mean? And when I saw this picture for the first time, Doug, go ahead and throw that first picture up there. That is a scientific diagram of lamnin. That's what's holding you and me together. And then, the youth that I was like, man, that's really cool, scientific diagram of lamnin. But then it went a step further. And I thought, all right, well, I've seen this. It's cool. That's all I need. I don't need any more. This is awesome. I love lamnin in this moment. This is cool. Because this is what's holding me together, right? And then I ended up seeing a microscopic image. Throw that up there, Doug. That is an actual microscopic image of lamnin in you and I. That's holding us together every single day. And you think, what are the odds that lamnin, the thing that makes it possible for you and I to be here, the cell adhesion molecule that forms matter, that holds everything together, is in the shape of the cross in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave His life. How incredible is that? And in that moment, I was like, man, this is so awesome. I tell you, I get excited for Jesus. I get excited in seeing the things that He does. And then it went a little bit further. Colossians 1, 16 through 17. And I'd heard this before, but it never really meant to me as much as it does now. Colossians 1, 16 through 17 says, are y'all ready for this? This is the punchline. This is where, if you haven't stuck with me all day, please hear this. Hear this. Colossians 1, 16 through 17 says, "For in Him all things were created." This is Jesus. "Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him," through Jesus and by Jesus. "He is before all things." Now get this, in verse 17. "He," Jesus, "is before all things, and in Him, all things hold together." All things. You may ask this morning, Jacob, what are you talking about taking the plunge? That sounds great in a perfect world. You know, I will tell you, I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Oftentimes we teach our children these songs growing up. And one of them that I think of in this moment, he's got the whole world in his hands. And we sing these songs to our kids. We know them from when we were growing up. And we expect our kids to sing them and to love them. But as adults, did we ever really get the message behind it? Do we understand? He's got the whole world in his hands. Each one of those hands were nailed for you and me. But yet he can still hold it all together. And he does. I'm not telling you that the deep end, that the plunge isn't going to be scary. Because I'm telling you, it really could be. As a church, in your personal life, the unknown is a scary thing. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is going to hold you together. Jesus is going to hold us together as a church through it. He is. I believe that with all of my heart. And if we just had a little bit of faith that this woman had, and we say, if we could just touch his cloak, if we here at Panther Creek believe with all of our heart that revival for America, now you say, well, Jake, this is Panther Creek. You know, this is Owensboro, Kentucky. This is Utica. You know, there's look at all these mega churches are out there. Look at this, look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to believe that revival can break out right here at Panther Creek Baptist Church. We have to. And if we just have a little bit of faith, a little bit of faith that this woman displayed for us today, that can happen. But we just have to believe it with all we have. And until we do, it will never happen, I promise. It won't. But as soon as we believe with all of our hearts that God can change lives, even here in this moment, you know, I believe that there's someone here this morning. With all my heart, I believe this. It just hit me. I believe that there's someone here that needed this today. I believe that there's someone here right now that's dealing with a call. That's dealing with a call in their lives that's bigger than they are, and they know it. And I don't know who you are, but I believe that you're here. This morning, I'm here to tell you that God's going to hold you through it. He's going to hold you together. You just got to take that step of faith this morning. This morning, I want to encourage you all. If you haven't, let your first leap of faith here at Panther Creek be to step to this altar and hit your knees and pray. You know, a lot of times I think we view the altar as a place for people that have problems going on in their life. Ladies and gentlemen, I have problems going on in my life. We all do. None of us here are perfect. But you know, 2 Chronicles tells us if my people will humble themselves. I'm asking you to humble yourselves this morning. I'm asking you to take that leap of faith. Even in the balcony, if you're feeling that the Lord is calling you this morning to take that leap of faith, let that leap of faith be public by coming to this altar, hitting your knees and praying to God, saying, God, I believe that you can use me in my personal life for my family. I believe that you can use me in this church. Father, I believe you can use Panther Creek to change the city of Owensboro, the state of Kentucky, and goodness, Lord, the United States. I believe that. And until our church, until the church, not just Panther Creek, the church in general, until we learn to hit our knees at this altar and pray and repent for the staleness that we found ourselves in, we will never, ever bust out and we will never see revival. I'm asking this morning to take a leap of faith. To step out into the deep end, to take the plunge in an area where you may have never been comfortable before or ever seen yourself before. Trust in Jesus this morning and live.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.